guys and gals, me Mudahar, and welcome back to another episode of the Some Ordinary Podcast. This time I got my co-hosts Nux and Oompy. Say hi, friends.
Hey,
hi,
what's
friends.
Up? How you doing?
And, you know, that's actually the cleaner intro, holy crap, from last time.
That was pretty good.
I feel real proud of myself, but you know what I feel prouder of? We got our boy Wendigoon as our guest this time.
Hey, what's good? What's good, boys? Thank you all very much for having me. Big fan. I appreciate it.
Trying to get you for 2 weeks now. This is crazy.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Of course, Nux, you gotta bring the guy. You gotta shame the guy now.
He was holding that in because he didn't say anything about it before. But now that we're all...
Listen, to be fair, our whole relationship is based off shaming each other.
Bro, that is true. Yes, that's true. This man, the first introduction I had to him, I had heard of Nux before, and then someone sends me a clip on Twitter of this guy calling me. Go ahead. What did you call me? Go ahead, say it.
I think it was something along the lines of edgy basement. No, edgy Walmart med pen.
Oh my God.
Okay, but in my defense, there was context, okay? All right, you made a really bad joke.
Probably. Yeah.
What was the joke?
Well, I don't even know what the joke was.
What was it? How bad was the joke?
Yeah, go ahead, Nux. Roast me. Keep it going.
I don't remember, okay? I was on stream watching your conspiracy iceberg thing, and it just sounded like something edgy Walmart Mad Pet would say.
What was the conspiracy? Wait. No, hold on. Because when
iceberg?
You say conspiracy, we're reaching like there's
which
stages
one?
To this shit.
Yeah, which one?
Sure are. It was
pretty sure he was talking about giants.
Yeah, it was a conspiracy theory iceberg. So it's like hundreds of conspiracy theories spread out over a series I did, where I just like do a quick look at all of them. And I don't remember what it is, but I just saw a clip of a VTuber pausing the screen and going, "This guy's edgy Walmart Matt Pat," and then just keeps going. That was my introduction.
Like,
to so and I don't
edgy
know what it is,
now, my friend. Now that is transformative stream content. Okay, I didn't just let your clip play.
Commentary.
No.
You added viable commentary to it to improve the content.
Yeah, I think
I love how like the bar is so low for that you just literally have to like just have to make one little comment and you're like 99% better than a Twitch reactor.
Sounds. That's what we should do. I'm gonna start doing this on my stream. I'm just gonna watch TV shows, pause it, and just go, and then unpause it and start playing it, and just fucking make sounds every now and then.
You're gonna be
there.
Like you're ripping into like the sweet Anita market. Like, come on now.
What? Oh my god, dude!
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Why? What? Because you're making
this isn't TikTok. You don't fake Tourette's on Twitch.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like, I'm saying like, hey, listen, you're like. That almost sounds like you're trying to make ticks when you're reacting. Like, I'm just going to make, like, old man noises. Yeah! Okay, fine. What video? Okay, which... like, which video would you ever react to, like, where you'd make those kind of noises? Because I know the kind of videos that I would react to, and I'm ashamed to say it, but the last couple days on YouTube... I've been getting recommended public defecation videos. Like, motherfuckers be out there... Yeah! So, like, okay... That's a thing! You gotta look it up, like, public defecation compilations, because, like...
San Francisco Simulator.
Bro.
Okay, you know what? I'm so glad that I did this, because, like, I got into, like, this discussion with with my partner, because she was like, fucking, you know, in China, they have, like, street shitting compilations, right? Like, it's on all over on YouTube. I'm like, okay, really? So she's from California, right? And like so we Google public defecation compilation. I'm like, all right, babe, you got like maybe you got like 10 of these like going on in California, okay? 10 out of 10 of these videos were captured in Frisco, okay? Like,
Frisco?
Motherfucker, we can dig up the poop map, okay? We can look through the live poop.
Oh, San Francisco.
Yeah, because it was all these Frisco. Like compilations. And like motherfuckers be out there like laying shits all over the ground and everything.
Just dropping
there were some,
logs.
Dude, there were some people who like they had like security footage from a Holiday Inn. And I was like, man, who the fuck, who's going to a Holiday Inn to shit in their hallway when you could go to a perfectly where you could go to a goddamn bathroom in the goddamn hotel and ever once, like, you just did this for the sake of shitting in public. What is wrong with you?
Now that's
a perfectly
a
fine spigot. A perfectly fine spigot in front of Mudahar's Airbnb, okay?
No, not again, no. You're not bringing the story up again,
It had to happen.
No, it had to happen. Look, all I've been looking at is public defecation stuff on you. Like, it's the only thing. And I found one channel. This is the best channel I've ever seen. It's like
what's
this
it called?
One dude. No, he just literally uploads. It's like he uploads their name, license plate. This man shit in public. Like public shaming of like.
Oh my god. He's a public defender. He's like a shit vigilante.
Bro, yeah, it's the a dung defender, IRL.
The dung defender. It's a vigilante.
Yeah, it's literally, that's all he is. Like, there was one video that I was watching. It's like, he illegally parked, but he also pissed. I
was like, he illegally parked and then he shit.
Yeah. Like, this dude parked. And, you know, like, okay, so this one video, it's like, you couldn't even identify the fucking car because it was that goddamn rusted, you know? Like when I first saw it in the video, I'm like, what the fuck is he driving? And the guy's just like, well, the guy's like possibly a Mazda from like 1962. Okay. And this guy gets out. He parks illegally. But you know what? It's the only public piss that I can defend because this motherfucker's like jumping around, like kind of antsy. He like brings out this cup and just like stealthily, like Sam Fisher drains the lizard into this thing on the side of his car. Like no one can see it. Then he takes the fucking cup and just throws it away, like just out there. So, I'm like, what the fuck was the point?
I have a question for our guest. Shitting in public is a
great segue.
Bit of an, I feel like there's like, you know, up in, especially West Virginia in into Virginia, because you're from Appalachia, right? That's like, yes, the clarification. Yeah. So yeah, sometimes you're driving, there's not any place to shit if you got to shit, right?
Correct. Yeah,
donut box in the back seat, you know, whatever, a big gulp cup.
Interesting.
What is your worst, like, have you ever had like an emergency while traveling? And what did you, how did you handle it?
Boy, I just asked him to self-report this.
I think he's just gathering, said, info for the guy uploading the doxes.
Yeah, I think I said, hi, I'm Edgy Walmart Matt Pat, and now the most embarrassing scat story I ever had. So it's going pretty well for the first 3 minutes of the podcast. So
I'm trying to set a record here.
For now, I've had, you know, obviously emergencies like needing to pee. While traveling, pour over stuff. As far as that, I remember there was one time that I thought it'd be a good idea on a date to eat shrimp tacos at a place locally. I knew the water was bad, like the water tasted sour. So I'm like, this may not be a clean establishment. The shrimp tacos, that's a good idea. On the way home from that, was the only time in my life, because I there was nothing in the car, like you were talking about donut box, or that couldn't happen. It was the cedar outside, and I remember stopping on the side of the highway, just in the like just woods all around, and being like, I'm about to get out, and just right here in front of God and everyone. Yeah. And I didn't do it. I manned up. I fought it. But that was like, I have never known fear like that. To the point that when Mudahar was talking about that, I was like, I get it now. I feel sympathy. I feel sympathy.
You take a shit in the Holiday Inn hallway?
Well, one was a protest. If you walk into a hotel and go right there,
a statement.
That is a domestic terrorist act, plain and simple.
Okay,
absolutely.
That's a bio agent just dropping it in the middle of a lobby. Right. Like he was trying to spread it to some conference there or whatever. But like I definitely get what Oompa's saying, because I've multiple times driven down back roads and there's just some man like bent over next to the wheel of his truck, just fear across his face, and I just pray for him as I drive by.
It's happened to my
But I guess maybe it's a difference. Like if you're in the backwoods with like no civilization around you, you're allowed to take a shit out in nature. But like if you're in listen, if you can dip into a goddamn gas station bathroom, sure you might be risking hepatitis on your asshole by sitting down on that seat. But it's a lot. Listen, you should risk it. You should have either taken that crap at home, or you shouldn't have fucking stopped in the Taco Bell drive-thru and risked their fucking food early on. That's all I'm saying.
I'd rather shit in the woods than a convenience store any day.
Yeah, to be real, like I'm sure a convenience store probably has like some level of disease that has never been witnessed by a man sitting on that fucking toilet.
Now, there's like a serenity to the woods, right? Like you feel primal. You feel out there like this is a man. There is no dignity in a Valero bathroom. Like you're not getting anything worth. So I agree. Dignity. Yeah.
All right. So now here where it like peeks into the next question for a guest. Let's say that you went to a convenience store bathroom, right?
Okay.
And like Ebola variant Zeta crawled up your asshole after you sat on that fucking toilet, you know? And the only way to get rid of it was through like surgery, right? So you go to the hospital, you're rushed there. You're laying on your hospital bed. The anesthesiologist has already knocked you out. Now, what if you woke up after the surgery, you look on Twitter, and the doctor used you, posted your medical information on the internet to own a console warrior on the internet?
Yep. What would you do?
What would you do?
You'd say, well, at least you didn't call me edgy Walmart med pet.
Yeah, I would do that, for one. But I would also incorporate our teachings from the man in the, was it a Holiday Inn or a Hilton, was it?
Holiday Inn, it was a Holiday Inn. Hilton's too fucking bougie for that.
Right, understood. Without saying. I would incorporate the strategies of the Holiday Inn man and find the doctor's office, and I'll let you figure out the rest. Okay. All right, so.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna explain something to you guys, okay? So I think we're a little too professional on this podcast, Caleb and Nux. I think we really are, because, and the reason I say this is, so the literally yesterday on Twitter, I signed on as I was taking a shit. That's a central theme for this episode, I think. But like, so this guy, I saw this video of like this doctor, right? He's like doing the selfie, like cameras, like, haha. I'm like, so this doctor records himself, and so this doctor runs a podcast where it's like pro PlayStation, like anti Xbox propaganda, you know what I mean? What? Like some fucking, yeah, so it's like the console war, cold war shit, you know what I mean? And so like the Xbox fanboys, I guess, were like, you're not a real doctor. So this guy, in the middle of like a surgery, so he's an anesthesiologist, he records his video, and the guy is cut up and open. You can see it in the video, like where the guy is cut up and removed, and he like points to the camera. It's like, okay, Xbox fanboys, let me tell you how much of a doctor I am. So he fucking points the camera at the medical information.
Oh my god, what?
So he proves that he's a doctor. At the same time, he leaks the full name for the patient, dude, the exact surgery they're having, where the fucking hospital is in Bangalore, India.
Where is
and
this
he's
guy?
Like, and he's like, I see, I told you I was a doctor.
Oh my god. Dude, he's not gonna be a doctor for long.
Yeah, and by the way, there's was. Like, here's the thing. I'm not like doing that accent to make a joke about this. This video is sponsored by like Indian on Indian violence, okay? Like there's no hate crime over here, okay? Let's be fucking real. But like when this motherfucker showed up, and the reason I say Indian on Indian is this was done in India, right? So like all the comments were filled with like, oh, this violates HIPAA law and everything. And then this guy is like, oh, you guys think you know more about medical law and ethics than me? I got consent from the patient and the hospital. And I was like,
what?
Hold on. Wait a minute. When I got surgery, right, the anesthesiologist, she's like, because we didn't test you, you could be in a fucking coma because anesthesia is like a tough science, right? That scared me. If my anesthesiologist before I was going under was like, yeah, can I like record you and upload your whole information onto the internet to own some Xbox players? I'm like, fucking let me die, bro. What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what? So like, yeah, he leaks the information, people call him out, and then he removes the video later and he uploads a formal apology. He's like, yeah, this whole thing was blown out of proportion a little bit. I'm like, bro, you're like, imagine being so entrenched in fighting for fucking plastic boxes that you risk your medical license. Because, like, the whole fucking hospital is getting, like, review bombed negatively now because the guy literally put the information out for the world, you know? Like, he gave all the info you would ever need.
Let's but go I to just the doctor. Found,
huh?
Let's go to him. Let's go all get checkups.
In Bangalore, India? You want to get checked there?
India, yeah.
Yeah, so people can know exactly what's wrong with our bodies because you know he's going to, like, leak that shit out on the internet, right? Like, you're going to go there. You're going to get, like, a laparoscopic surgery or whatever the fuck they call it. Oh, and people are going to be like, here's Caleb just laying down with a hole in his chest.
Hopefully they can see my big old wiener.
you're going to have an erection during it?
No, it's going to be a wiener beginning surgery.
Oh, it's just going to be like, oh, so there, okay.
Yeah, it'll be all there. Right.
A wiener beginning surgery, that's what they call it?
Beginning. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen. So, that's not a real surgery.
Oh, so, Wendigoon, wiener beginning iceberg deep dive when? That's the question.
Thank you, Alex. Off of that, a story I heard about this weekend, I'm not going to give specific names because I don't know how much I'm supposed to say on the internet. Speaking of wiener beginning, there was a guy who accidentally got the opposite of that. In a military training course, I was with some friends of mine. We were like,
are you just gonna do Logan Paul like that?
We were doing some classes about like just general wound care, like trauma care and whatever. And one of the steps for trauma care, like if someone's laid out and you need to find where the injury is, you just cut the clothes off, right? Because like you don't want to fight with them or like make an injury worse. Oh, so whenever you go straight down the shirt, whenever you get to the pants, so you don't do what Caleb's thinking, you go to the right along the thigh and cut that way, okay?
Now, yeah, because your dick ain't going to be there.
Exactly, yeah. Now, in training, someone had a pair of medical shears. This was in, I'm not going to give the specific group, but it was in the military and military training for this a few weeks ago. They had the shears and they were cutting down the pants super quick. And as it went by, it swiped the,
Oh my God.
Cut the helmet right off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, that like, no, man.
And what's wild about it, according to the story, the guy, like, he shot up immediately, right? And he's like, what? And they're like, what? Calm down. Like, don't be dramatic. He's like, okay.
Don't be dramatic. So what the fuck?
He sat there for the entire like 10-minute procedure, just like kind of nervous. He gets up, looks in his pants. He's like, "Can someone look at this for me?" And they're like, "What? You being a baby? You being a baby?" Because it kind
just,
of like
just a prank, bro. God
it's
damn.
Just a prank, bro. Yeah. And then like, man, horrific.
I'll be honest. Like, if you were doing like if we were in training and it was you that did it to me. Your ass would be laid the fuck out if that knife, that fucking shear got near my dick. God damn.
Like, man, that is... I tell you what. I understand it, but like...
A little off the top.
Yeah, I mean to like train and be like zoop like straight by at full speed. Yeah. No, not happening.
Oh my God. That would be fair, I don't remember much about my circumcision, but I didn't walk for 2 years after it.
That's true. Like, I didn't do that after my circumcision as well. It took me a year before I was even able to do shit.
Yeah, I couldn't speak for 9 months after.
I mean, it's been like 6 hours and I'm doing pretty okay.
Such
right
relatable
now.
Stories.
Your pants are just a little sticky.
Yes, it's fine, I think.
That reminds me of like on Facebook, there's entire communities of men who are like, look what they took from us at birth. Circumcision. Like, God damn. I remember like years after that when I was like probably 10, I'm like, I asked my dad what a circumcision was, and he's like, let me explain it how it works, son. So your dick has a sock around it. And we just basically fucking snip that shit off, you know? And I'm like, why would God give us a sock? Because I was like, why would God put a sock on it? And I was like, I don't know. Okay, it's why funny. The fuck? It's like, he just gives it to you and he wants you to cut it off when you're born. Okay, that's all I fucking know. All right, goddamn.
Yeah, quit asking these fucking questions, you little bastard.
Because my dad's like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, so in like school, we had sex ed, and like, we had sex ed in like the fifth grade, right? And the only reason we had sex ed in the fifth grade is like everyone in the fourth grade like figured out what penises and vaginas were back then. So like the school was like, oh shit, okay, we better fucking teach these morons something. Yeah. Oh, my dad said the funniest shit ever. Like, he came over for like a parent teacher thing. And like he saw the teacher that was teaching us sex ed, and he was like, "She's teaching that to you? Like, oh God, I feel bad for you guys." She was like, "What the fuck?" Like, because she was giving us like year old design. Like, there was days where we'd walk in, and like she would just stop and tell us, "Like, okay." So I found out on the I was watching TV last night, and we were like, "Oh," and I've heard that people are referring to penises as Johnsons now. Do you kids know about that? We're like, damn, this bitch is really teaching us how fucking sex works. Like, we're fucked from now on. But yeah, that was learning about the human body was like a terrible fucking nightmare for all of us. Cause like, I will say the Canadian. Well, how did you learn about sex ed?
I just didn't. I knew already.
Oh my God.
Nobody taught me, bro. I just knew already.
Well, okay, like, how did you learn? Like, this is not some divine intervention.
I have no idea. I just woke up one day and I was like, well, that's how that works. Anyway,
he went out on the farm one day. He went out on the farm one day and saw the horses, and he's like, got it.
Interesting.
I'll remember that. Yeah.
So that's how that works. No, I really don't know. I genuinely don't know. I was homeschooled, so I took like health, biology, shit like that. Mm-hmm. So learned about chemistry, you know. Penis, vagina.
Well, it's not like your parents would hide that from you, you know what I mean? Like, your parents usually,
they're not like yeah. super religious or anything, so they didn't.
They're not like, oh God, Caleb's learning about a dick. Oh no.
I remember
at
one
the
time,
medical shears.
My dad's really funny, as you guys know from the Spartacus story. A couple podcasts ago. I kept calling people douchebags, right? And he's like, "What? Do you know what that is?" And I was like, "No, what's a douchebag?" And he's like, "Come on, son, I'll tell you." So we went down in the basement, and he was just like, this whole thing was just him setting up a joke. He's like, "Well, it used to be how women cleaned their, you know, their other parts that we don't have." And then he's like, "Until they figured out soap worked." And then he left. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? I'm so fucking confused right now. He's such a funny fucker. And then and another time, like very shortly after that, I was like, "Dad, you told that joke was so," he said a joke or something. I was like, "That was so funny, I almost busted a nut." I was like 12. I didn't know what to fuck it, man.
Also, like, busting a gut is very similar.
Yeah, well, that's why I thought busting a nut was like, you know, something else you could do. And he's like, "Don't say that." And I was like, "Why?" Yeah. And he didn't explain to me why. But
he's gonna take you down to the basement. It's like, son.
Yeah, yeah. Doug, you see this anime figure in a jar right over here,
dude? Oh my God. Oh no.
You see this MLP figure?
Yeah.
Imagine if you were at like a social event with your kid and he's like, "Huh, that made me bust a nut," and like just the dread that would watch over you.
My dad's always making me bust nuts with how funny he is.
Oh no.
Alright, please stop.
Well, I thought the story was gonna go there when he was like talking about douchebags and dad was like, "Alright, son, let's go down into the basement. I'll teach you a whole..." God damn, dude. Your dad is a fucking hilarious dude. Holy shit.
He's genuinely the funniest person I've ever met in my life.
I thought the Spartacus was the best story, but that one beats it by a fucking mile.
He loves watching homoerotic stuff.
But it's not for the gay stuff. No. It's for the story. Like, no.
For the action. Yeah. Just happens to be a lot of, you know, homoeroticism before and after action.
Well, what is the most homoerotic thing that's not actually filled with gay porn, though? Because I think it's Fast and the Fucking Furious, if we're going to be honest here. Like, that is the most homoerotic fucking story. I recently...
You haven't seen JoJo's, so...
I've never seen... Like, look, I've not seen JoJo because I watched, like, the first episode of that shit, and I was like, what the fuck am I watching? Like, what is this fucking, like... Because all I remember is, like, this one dude who's, like, dad gets, like, fucking leukemia or some shit, and he dies or whatever, and he gives him, like, a letter, and it's like, "Go to this rich family and fucking, you know, you'll win." And then this other douchebag named JoJo Star, who's, like, an actual klutz. Like, I didn't get the story then, okay? Like, that's when I stopped. And honestly, I stopped and put on Fast and the Furious, okay? Because as homoerotic as Fast and the Furious is, it's a fucking guilty pleasure of mine, and I always get down to watching the dumbest plot line on cinema. Okay?
You also watch Family Guy. We found that out last week.
Dude, I have to pay... Fuck, I have to sacrifice my fucking firstborn to watch Family Guy now. Because they don't have that shit in Canada. So I go to like the most raunchy, shitty site on the internet called Kim Cartoon. And it's like... There's like 19 fucking ads before I'm allowed to see the intro to this fucking show. Like...
YouTube, though. You just need to watch one Family Guy clip on YouTube, and your entire YouTube recommended will just be Family Guy.
No, because like, I want the whole fucking lore of Family Guy. I want to know, like, you know, the fuck. Yeah! Because there's, like, I want to know the whole, like, that's why I watched the whole season in the beginning, because, like, you gotta start off from the beginning and watch all the way to, like, the later end, you know? Like, I want to know the whole fucking... Dude, Family Guy is a funny show. Granted, I'm, like, usually wasted in the sessions that I'm watching it, but it's still funny. Yeah, no, I can't watch that show fucking sober, like, mm-mm. Just like I can't watch YouTube boxing when I'm fucking sober. So you guys know about the boxing event that happened a couple days ago?
Yeah, that yawn is so bad
indicative. For
yeah, that's what I was doing the whole time. I was fucking just like, man, this is so stupid. Why do people care about this?
So this is the first time I actually felt like I fell off, you know? Like, the whole, like... Like, I was like, maybe I am fucking old, you know? Like, maybe I should, like, retire or, like, you know, fucking sign up into a retirement home. Because, like, they put the title card out, right? So I recognized three names. So I knew Face Temper was one of them. I knew Vitaly because everyone fucking knows Vitaly. Like, goddamn. When I saw Vitaly, I'm like, wait, that motherfucker's, like, free? Like, after what he did? Okay. And then I remember Deji. I'm like, oh, I knew that guy. And then he lost again. And I'm like, that's Deji for you. And then fucking all these other names showed up. Like, it was Deji versus this guy named Alex Wasabi. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And then I looked at the whole title card again. I'm like, who is this? Like, it's like everyone from the UK side is this unknown crackhead. But then it's also the same for the US side. I'm like, yeah, I didn't recognize anybody. I had no fucking clue. And the fight was at like 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm like, fucking has a fight like that? I get it's the United Kingdom and shit, but goddamn.
What? I don't know. I felt bad for Deji because, like, oh, dude, that man. I'm just waiting for him to be, like, you know, 74, going for his 47th redemption match. You know, he's going to do it one of these days. He's going to win a fight.
Do you guys actually think all those events are rigged, though?
I feel like
there's so much rigging that goes. I feel like there's so much rigging.
Boxing is just has been rigged since the beginning, just in general, sort of.
No, but
I think the first KSI versus Logan Paul was rigged.
It's just too easy 100%. To rig, you know?
It when they went out so that they could get more buys for the sequel fight. Come on, man.
You gotta think about it too. Like every time these guys do boxing, what is the audience that watches? Because I refuse to believe it's like I feel like we're in the minority. Well, it's definitely not fucking boxing fans that are watching that trash.
It's weird, right? Because I feel like, you know, the Venn diagram of like people who care about YouTubers and people who like boxing is like two circles. Like there's not a lot of overlap with the kind of
there's not commonality on that one. Yeah,
kind of weird.
Yeah, I don't, like because most of the most of the people that box, they're not like YouTubers that are sports YouTubers, right?
Yeah,
like they're random personalities that are known for like lighting pools on fire. Or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Logan Paul, I mean, it makes sense now, but it didn't when he first started. I was like, what? That's weird.
Logan Paul also, like, even, like, but it's different with Logan because, like, we used to be a point where we all, like, shit on him, but I feel like he's way less egregious of a person. Like, he's definitely done a lot of changing. Like, I actually consider, like,
his podcast pretty cool, too.
Oh, it's good. Like, I think Logan Paul's a cool guy. I think Jake is a fucking absolute dumbass. You know, I mean, they're both still stupid. Let's be honest here. Like, I say Logan Paul's better, but it's like
he's a good. I feel like man. I think he's a good businessman.
Yeah, I feel like Jake is probably this very similar to Logan, and you can tell by how close they are still, in spite of Logan being so like he condemns people. Like he has like morals and shit, but he's still really good friends with his brother. In spite of his brother being like the ultimate canceled YouTuber, right? I feel like it's just the Jake thing is just like a WWE type like fake. Act that he's just doing whatever he possibly can to be the bad guy.
I agree with you. I think that you could tell like how both of them like why they are where they are, and it's how they were impacted by basically their backstories on YouTube. Like Logan was always pushing the boundary until he got mega canceled. Like I don't know anyone that get canceled harder for like not actual like pedophilia stuff.
Yeah, he got zoinked.
He got really blasted. Yeah.
And it was to be fair, it was a completely deserved cancellation.
Oh, like, yeah, it was horrible. Like, it was horrible. Now. But so then he did the boxing thing, like kind of as his redemption from his cancellation. And Jake was tagging along. He was also hated, but he never had like that one precipice moment like Logan did. And he won his boxing match, so he kept boxing, and then he created a personality around the WWE.
The thing with Logan is, like, what he did was super reprehensible because, like, you don't just go to, like, you know, Aokigahara Forest and, like, oh, here's that guy, guys. Let's film that shit. Good content. Thumbnail. But then, like, Jake is, like, the difference, like, that's bad. But, like, what Jake did, like, when Jake was getting, like, canceled, right? Like, when all you saw him was on, like, drama alerts and, like, YouTube news and all this kind of shit, I was like, what separates Jake Paul from the average Los Angeles douchebag? Like, actually, what separates?
Has more followers. That's the difference. Yeah. Jake just like, has more eyeballs on him.
Yeah, so I'm like, so every time Jake got screwed, I was like, it's not that I felt bad for him. I'm like, okay, but this is L.A., dude. Like, everyone's a douche in this city, okay, that lives like this. Come on now, let's not split hairs like this, okay? Like, oh, Logan Paul, yeah, what he did was like, that goes beyond Los Angeles. It's like, shit, now I can't go back to Japan anymore. Like, one of the nicest societies, and I fucked it up. Like, but it's different, you know? Like, kind of like Jake is whatever, dude. So what? He, like, lights a pool on fire. Yeah. Everyone's done that in West Hollywood this weekend anyways. Like, shit. So what separates him is the question. But then again, like, now I notice, like, Jake, well, ever since I've been covering, like, scams on the internet, like, fucking NFT shit, he's way worse. Like, fucking, he's, like, well, both the Logan Paul brothers are pretty terrible with this shit. Like, it's like anything to make kind of a buck. Logan
Paul brothers, I like that.
Yeah, the Logan
Paul. Older Logan Paul and younger Logan Paul.
No, that's it. He had it right. No one change it. That's hilarious.
Yeah. No, I like it.
Logan Paul Jr. and Logan Paul
Sr. Every time Logan Paul's best friend, like, you guys know who I'm talking about on that
God,
one.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I know.
I always replace it with Logan Paul's best friend, because, like, down on Discord, some guy's like, he really just fucking hates being called that, so I'm like, okay.
Mike?
Sure, Mike? Well, yeah, Logan Paul's best friend, that's what I'm talking about.
Logan Paul's best friend.
Adam Sandler.
So it's funny, when you,
that's way fucking worse! What the fuck?
I like Adam Sandler. I think he looks like a nice guy.
I love Adam Sandler, but I would not want to be known as his fucking doppelganger.
That's true.
You look like Jackie Chan.
Poor man has no.
Not one boy.
No. Wait, he built his channel by dating a porn star, right? That we're talking about the same.
Yeah, in Atlanta Rhodes or something.
Mike Miller. Wait, didn't she also just do an NFT scam? Oh my God, it's the same circles.
I think he's a cool dude. I think Mike's a cool dude. I think he's pretty smart. I like him.
Yeah, I like Logan Paul's best friend too.
Logan Paul's best friend is something.
Okay, I'll concede right now. Okay, Mike Maliak. There it is. I said his name right there. I think he is, like,
God, I've never actually heard his full name before.
I thought it was
Maliak. I think I pronounced it right. I don't know. It's a tough last name. Fuck you, Mike. Okay, everyone pronounces my last name wrong too. So you get a little bit every once in a while, but. It's
the longest time I thought your last name was Anus.
It is, actually. You're correct on that. Congratulations.
Wait, no.
Yeah, no, it's not the other way around. It is Anus. But, okay. But like, fucking. No, I'm kidding. It's enough. But, anyways, when I saw Mike, and I think this was after the whole, like, when we covered all these, like, the initial wave of, like, Rubets, like, he was pretty, I want to say defensive, but I think any person in that situation will obviously be defensive. Hey, if I was in that situation, I'd probably fucking. I'd act the same way too. He actually does, like, I think the problem is, like, you every time you see these guys on the internet, like, they act in a very douchey way, but obviously off camera they're completely different people. It's really hard though to gauge it with some of these guys, because it's like, I don't know, like, if the on-camera behavior is literally their off-camera behavior now, but, like, at least from Mike's perspective, when I, like, just, like, the brief, like, interludes I got to speak, I'm like, all right, this guy must at least be somewhat level-headed, I guess. It is what it is. He can't be, like...
He strikes me as smart. He just... I mean, I don't know him at all, so who am I to say? But he does seem a little weaselish, right? No? Like,
kind of does. I think everyone in that situation is. Everyone there.
What do you think, Wendigan?
I will be 100% honest. I do not know who Mike is, but I'm just happy to be here and listen. But thank you.
He's a guy who looks like Adam Sandler on the podcast.
Love his movie.
He's Logan Paul's best friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah, Logan Paul's best friend. Not his brother, not Logan Paul 2.
No, not Logan Paul Light. Not Crystal Logan Paul.
Let's talk about Logan Paul's father. Greg.
Wait, no, if we're gonna do it, you're gonna have to lead the charge, because I have no fucking idea about what Greg is into. The only thing I've ever seen about Logan Paul's, the only thing I know about their father is, like, some fucking, I think it was like a kissing prank, though. I'm not entirely sure.
He pulled at somebody and he kissed
a young girl.
Yeah. She thought she was kissing Jake and it was Greg.
Are we legally clear to say that? Wait,
or allegedly, I guess, but yeah, it's a full video.
Yeah, that's not allegedly.
He titled this video "Kissing Prank." Okay, like, yeah, it was like, that was the focus, bro.
It wasn't like she was underage or anything either. I mean, it's like just that weird without having to be that weird. She's, you know,
40 years younger than him without being underage.
Was it like a peck on the face, or like did he go like fucking?
It was like a makeout.
It was like a tongue action.
Bro, she got paid, though. She got paid for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. See, like, then I don't why are we shitting on Greg, okay? She accepted a capitalist choice to
She was kissing Jake, though. Yeah. That's pretty well, scummy.
It kind of was, though.
Oh, my God.
Bro. Well, I mean, half of him, I guess.
So how much?
You want to get scientific.
She couldn't tell the difference when she was making out with the dad versus Jake, though.
Isn't it? Like...
Yeah, that's the real problem. Yeah. Wow, you kissed just like... Imagine that. Imagine a girl telling you you kissed just like your dad.
Oh my god.
See, like that's a grim, like, see, either in that situation it means like fucking Greg Paul is such a fucking badass like makeout god, or Jake just sucks ass at making out with women, so he just comes across as like a 60-year-old dude. It could be either or. Like, it could literally be those situations. Like, either... Both those situations are fucking terrible, okay? And I hope that woman paid off her fucking mansion with whatever she got in recompensation or some shit for that, but... You know, I don't know. Like, how... Okay, fine. But there's a good question, Wendigoon. How much would it... How much to kiss Greg Paul? How much? Like, make out.
Great question.
How much does he look like?
How much? It doesn't matter. You're making out with him.
All right,
He looks like a good old boy. He's from Ohio.
Can I close my eyes the whole process?
No, you can't. You have to open your fucking eyes.
Wait, I have to stare at him like...
Okay, you're blindfolded. Right, but does that really fucking make it better, though?
It makes it so much better. You can convince yourself that it's Jake.
Yeah, I can pretend. I can convince myself it's Caleb if it's like that. I mean, someone else.
Imagine the mustache. Yeah, that's because he had a lot of beard too, or like actual facial hair.
Oh, the hairs would get stuck.
You're like intertwining locks on that one. Again, how much?
And I will say, to be fair though, there's a few videos that Logan made of where he's at his ranch or whatever. And in spite of everything negative that's been said about Greg Paul, I really don't know anything about him. I know that he's been like canceled multiple times. There's a bunch of allegations and stuff, but like the way that they interact on that ranch seems very cool. They seem like a good like group of folks. But
that's been,
you know,
an interesting thing I've seen with a lot of those big YouTuber types, like Jeffree Star, for example. Like, they get a lot of money in LA, and then I know it's just as bad, but then they get
like a
huge piece of property out west,
mm-hmm.
and like just start a farm, which is kind of wholesome, but it's also strikingly odd to me. Like, I wouldn't have thought of them as that kind of person, but I mean, you know, interesting. It's
I don't know, man. I wouldn't mind speaking my mind about like anyone on YouTube. I'm more than happy to tell you my opinion, except for Jeffree Star. I think he has hitmen.
Jeffrey?
Oh my god, you don't think he has a hitman working for him? Come on,
he
wanted to, like, he's got the
budget. If Wendigoon is gone by the time this podcast is like,
my thing with Jeffree Star is,
if I die, thanks, Nux.
Well, I just don't understand why Jeffree Star is Jeffrey. Like, I don't understand like the appeal of Jeffree Star. Like, so he's just like a makeup guy, but he like, is he just like a successful version of Trisha Paytas? Like a more successful version. Is that all it is? Because I'm not supposed to.
To me, he's just like kind of like Dracula. He reminds me of Dracula.
Yeah, like fucking Nosferatu. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I think of
like
it.
Like some kind of mythical monster or something.
My favorite video will always be when.
More hair.
My favorite video is always when Jeffree Star apologizes. He's like, guys, I'm sorry. As he's sitting on like the world's most expensive fucking couch in his like fucking Calabasas mansion.
This couch is made from the skin of my enemies.
I feel like that was self-aware. Like, that specific.
Yeah, it was pretty self-aware.
Because he's like, I'm so sorry for, like, taking some money as he's in, like, the throes of luxury. He knows what he's doing with that stuff.
He knows what he's doing, and he's also the best Far Cry villain that's not in a Far Cry game. There's the moment I saw that, I was like, God,
please, dude. I can't lose all my co-hosts. Please, guys, don't do that.
I think a lot of guys and girls like that in like the whole YouTube sphere, like the Pauls too and Jeffree Star, they kind of play the character sometimes of being unaware or like making mistakes or whatever, but I feel like they are always gaming it behind the scenes. I mean, we've seen how successful they've turned out.
Yeah,
they can kind of do what they want with it, but yeah, I think there's definitely ulterior motives for a lot of that stuff.
I feel like to succeed on YouTube though, you have to be a supreme caricature, you know, like I know that I will never get like that level of YouTube like stardom, I guess you could say, but that's also because like I'm not putting myself out into the spotlight, and I'm also not like I guess making an ass out of myself in front of everyone, to be real, like in that respect, you know. Like, I'm very much comfortable in the place that we're at. Like, when it comes... I feel like the least unhinged people on the internet are probably the ones that cover the weirdest topics. Like, literally like Wendigoon, like as much as like, I mean, no disrespect by saying this, but you are quite normal by YouTube standards, you know, like very, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no weird shit to cancel you on. Like, you're not a fucking weird, you're not like some, you're not every star. Yeah, of course, that we know of. Like, I could literally be biting my tongue and it comes out that you're like a fucking serial killer and then, like, you know, fucking
he'll go feed the children in his basement after we're done with the podcast.
Like,
whatever the police find me, you'll be the first to know, Muda. But I appreciate
it. I like, my thing is, I think the easiest way to say it is, like, no one here is a Vitaly, you know? Mm. Like, Wendigoon, there's no video of you in Skid Row giving out sandwiches to the homeless and going, back off, okay? You'll get your fucking food, back off! You know, you're not doing one of those, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Caleb doesn't have it, you know, Nux doesn't do it, I don't do that. What do you mean, yeah? Is there a Skid Row story you want to tell?
I just mean, yeah, no. No, I don't have anything. People should not dig into my background at all. There's nothing to find.
Hey, I already checked. It's all good. No need to. Sorry.
Thank you, Ry. I appreciate it, yeah. Let's just say, when I buy a gun, the background check is done before I even...
You just walk in and then walk out. They
yeah,
do it later.
Exactly.
That's some ominous-ass shit. How fucking... How are you getting them background checks done that quick, boy? What
they're
the
instant.
Fuck?
You don't even have to background check a gun if you come in with another gun and then leave with that extra one. There's no background check. You just walk in with the gun, they give you another one, and you leave. It's simple. I do it every
Have you guys been Have you guys been Doomsday prepping?
Dude, I've been Doomsday prepping for 25 fucking years.
I'm actually starting to doomsday prep. I just bought like fucking a year worth of food, and like I just bought more ammunition and firearms. And I'm actually like, no joke, I'm getting a bunker. Like, I'm gonna get a bunker installed into this place. Hopefully before like you know, hopefully before like fucking the mushroom clouds get shown. But I want a Fallout 5. You know, if like the fucking worst comes to worst, I want to come out of the vault like 20 years later and see fucking. You know, the world reborn or some shit. Like, actually, I've been doomsday. I think the reason I've been, like, really doing it is not so much for me, but because, like, it's put a lot of anxiety on, like, you know, my brother and shit. And I was like, man, I kind of would want my family in a bunker. Like, if the worst comes to worst, right? Like, what the fuck?
It's good, even if to not... There is a security and self-reliance. Even if not necessarily the nukes and it's going to be a Fallout scenario. Like, even if like food lines stop for a while, you want to make sure that you
like,
have something to eat, even minor stuff.
Food
like
lines.
Food line. I also thought about like power as well too, because I made a video a day ago where I talked about cyber attacks and stuff and how like the prevalence of them have risen so hard. Because of all the tension right now in the UK, and not the UK, but like the EU, Ukraine and Russia, the cyber attacks have gone up like crazy. And like, obviously, one of the biggest targets could be like power grids. So I'm like, I watched this one movie a long time ago, and it was about like, it's a found footage movie where like the power grid went out in the UK for, I think it's like 2 weeks. Like, it's a full blackout. And like the entire, like, it started off cool for a couple days, right? Like, people are like, oh, the power's gone, whatever, it'll be back. But after like the fourth, fifth day, and it's true because the resources stopped coming in, like the gasoline wasn't showing up, and like medical shit started to fail. People were the whole country went into fucking like pandemonium and shit, right? Until the lights came back on. So I'm like, man, even in the worst case, I like to be prepared, right? Like, what's a few extra bucks for the self-reliant security, you know? Like, I understood the whole prepping, right? Like, because people usually think, like, doomsday preppers, like, they're literally prepping for the world to end. But, like, the prep helps a lot during a serious emergency
situation.
Just
being ready, yeah.
Yeah.
Caleb's probably seen this. I don't know about you other guys, but during COVID, I saw a lot of local, restaurants and, like, food places just not have food.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't know. We had that here too.
Yeah, I know people who had to talk to family members who had farms and ask them for stuff. And, you know, luckily it's starting to pick itself back up. But man, like, there's a lot of people who their only hope, if like just like the foods or the truck stop showing up, is, well, I guess I know someone who may have it. And man, that is some stress to put onto a very small ecosystem. It's good, like you said, not just for doomsday, but just to be generally prepared for things that can happen.
Yeah,
I agree.
And a fragile ecosystem, not to mention, because if like something, you know, if something like if their water's poisoned and their cattle die, or if there's a drought and there's no food for the cattle, then it's all over. Just in general,
because then you've got one provider for this entire web, mm-hmm. And if anything happens to that one provider, which it can, that web is pandemonium. Yeah, it's that has happened a lot. Not so. We've been pretty lucky in, like, you know, North America, for that kind of stuff, at least over the past several decades. But, like, man, you look in some of those European countries that have been, like, war torn over the past few years. There are some horrific stories of that exact thing happening. People just kind of, like, devolving into a survival of the fittest type thing. And I don't think that we're as predisposed to that in the United States, but I also do not want to end up with the short stick. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like we also have a lot less tension in the side of the world, and we're way more spaced out. So we're able to, like, I think in a worst case scenario, we're able to better rebuild than our, like, our folks out there in the EU, you know, and, like, that side of the world, just, like, out east. Because, you know, like, too many people over there. You know, not enough resources here. It's like we have, like, great open plains to go to, right? Like, fucking
yeah. And really, like, a lot of the really horrible stuff too has all come out of communism as well. Like, with, like, the Holodomor in the 30s with Ukraine and Russia, which is, like, they didn't. Have you guys ever heard of that? The Holodomor?
No, I've never heard of that. No. Give me the history lesson on that one.
How many people starved to death? But I want to say 3 million at least Ukrainians starved to death because. And then Stalinist Russia refused outside aid for the Ukraine and just let them starve, basically. There's a bunch of really terrible photos online of just, like, people waiting for work at, like, the bus stop, and there's just people, like, dead in the background just who died from starvation. Which the West has never, ever, ever, ever even come close to having anything that has happened in, like, Eastern Europe in terms of starvation in, like, a almost, like, post-industrial revolution time frame, so, which is fortunate, but and I think that's another reason too. You're from Appalachia, Windigoon, so, like, I feel like that's a reason why people from that area are all very single-minded in terms of, like, how much they prepare for the worst, is because it's like a, I don't know, it just feels like everything's so fleeting there. There's not, like, it just doesn't seem like the rest of America. It's very, like,
I was actually thinking about that the other day, because I 100% agree that whenever I talk to someone who's not from around here about it, they kind of see it as, like, a novelty, right? The idea of, like, being prepared or storing food. I think what it is, like, I'm sure you've experienced some of it, but my family's from Eastern Kentucky, like, coal country is where it all came from. And back in, like, the 50s and 60s when there were the worker strikes and all that with the union, well, up until the 70s, there were entire towns that were, like, a no-go zone because, like, mafia and gang members would do things like hold up trucks coming into town. And there were cases of, like, again, nothing close to what Russia or, like, Ukraine experienced.
Right, of course.
But there were cases of people starving to death in the back of haulers or whatever if their food goes bad or their crops go bad. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people who are still alive remember that. And the same supply, I know that whenever a lot of the coal mines shut down around 2013, 14, there were people who were in fear of starving to death again. Because a lot of these guys who lost their jobs, like, it was dad and grandpa who had to go through all that, had to go through the recession that the mountain saw. So there is always the concept in the back of your head that everything that's provided for you can go away. I've got a friend who, anytime we go out to eat, he's a very wise man in business. We'll sit down and he'll be like, all right, let's count this out. Like, if we go to an Italian restaurant, for example, he's be like, all right, so the potatoes that are over here in this was probably grown in Idaho. The tomatoes that we're eating were most likely grown in the southwestern United States. We have cheese here. It was probably, like, all this stuff. And he was like, think about how many supply lines, how many different groups, how many people it took to put the spaghetti on our plate right now. And think about if any of those systems fall out, what the repercussions will be across the web. And there's, like you're saying, there's just a lot more people who think that way. They're more minded towards
it. Yeah, I feel like self-reliance is like a thing that just exists in all of that area.
100%.
So. I mean, it's like, it's a thing that I always like saying, like, computer security even, right? Like, I mean, you don't just set it and forget it. Like, self-reliance is one of the way you make it sound, you have to, like, actively put all your effort, like, 24/7, 365 and do it. You know what I mean? And that sounds like it would be exhausting, but I guess, like, I mean, that's, I mean, like, it would take a lot of the stress off, of course, when it comes down to when the shit hits the fan, right? Like, because eventually, you know, given the situation that we're in, we could see some of that. And those people that are prepped have been a little more predisposed to being the most safest in this situation. Because, like, you're right. I think the way people think about it, at least where I live, they don't go that far into the spaghetti and meatballs. You know, like, they don't look that hard in, you know, how that plate was made.
Meat comes from the grocery store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so I think in that regard, like, yeah, it is like a fucking exhausting thing to put your brain through that all the time. But I think at the end of the day, when shit does hit the fan, they will be the safest because they won't have the same levels of pandemonium that the rest of the world will have.
Just in the micro, not to cut you off, Caleb.
You're good.
But like just in the micro, like we're experiencing a lot of economic inflation right now, at least in the United States. It will probably continue and go down and all that. There's a lot of people who are worried about paycheck to paycheck their next meals. And a lot of the times, like sourcing food as a place to store money while it has value can save you money down the road. So you can even do things like, you know, save you money or keep you from losing out on your assets and stuff like that. There's a lot of routes to it rather than just, you know, Russia bombs the US or whatever people think.
Yes, I invested in instant ramen. What about you guys?
Exactly, yeah.
Last a while.
I have like MREs and like fucking real ass like survival like fucking buckets in my goddamn basement in my cold storage.
And another crazy thing about Appalachia too is like a lot of the business that people have is like at some point completely reliant on like diesel or fuel of some sort. Because like they don't make electric tractors. I mean, they just don't. It's not a thing that happens. And when fuel goes from $3.50 a gallon for 9/10 of a gallon for diesel to $7.50, you're fucked. And just fuel. I mean, and I think a really interesting thing too is that like Appalachia largely has been forgotten in terms of like welfare and like state subsidies. Aside from farmers, I feel like farmers are pretty well taken care of, at least in Virginia where I'm from. The apple farmers are pretty well taken care of, but I feel like that's a really bad spot to be just in general in terms of like, do you have anything to fall back on? No. Appalachia is like a very unique region in the world, I'd say. It's really interesting. And there's a lot of fucking monsters in the woods.
Bro, I tell you what. we are on the same like wavelength right now. I think what's weird about Appalachia is it is a country, it is in... I mean, not to like sound American elitist or whatever, is in one of the most well-supplied countries in the world. And it is also...
Fucking elitist Americans, elitist. Swear to God.
It's the most, overclassed
section. What a million subscribers does to a motherfucker.
Yeah, look at that. You're talking about... I need to stop before something gets clipped.
Canada's better, we know. Like you can go on.
Like with that stuff I was saying about, people lost out on jobs or they were afraid where their next source of food would come from and all of that. One of the things that like my grandfather and my dad talked about was whenever you had gang members like keeping trucks from coming in because they were striking a coal company that was in the town or whatever, the government did nothing. They didn't want to touch it. And the only intervention, and I'm pretty sure like, this is kind of becoming more across the board, but Caleb definitely knows. If you ask anyone who's lived in the region for a while, hey, what has the government done to help you? The answer will be absolutely nothing.
Jack fucking shit.
Yes. it has been regulations. It has been creating problems to the degree that people, they don't just not trust it. They actively fear its intervention and whatever they're
doing. Because all it does is ruin shit and burn shit down.
You can't blame someone for having 40 years of abuse through that and then being like, yeah, I don't trust it. I'm gonna
now the iceberg charts aren't making sense to me anymore, Wendigoon. Why don't you just do a survival channel? Like this is like I feel like no, I'm not even joking. Like it's like really like I'm actually like super enamored listening to just you talk about supply lines and fucking, you know, like the apple, like this is actually like I feel like it's more important to talk about the shit and get it all out in the open and like actually come up with these scenarios because like Dude, I've been doom scrolling for the last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I think everyone here has, and it's not just me. This is like...
I'm too happy-go-lucky. This is so sad.
Bro, you live in a place where it's just God's doom scrolling you, but like, fucking... I'm just saying, like, we need to, like, this takes stress off, because, like, now I can sort of, like, compartmentalize and, like, understand what to do in, like, situations, you know what I mean? Like, even, like, this slight bit of information or, like, just talking about it really does help. Because it's like, yeah, you can panic and doom scroll about a million things all you want, but it's like, this helps you, like, formalize a plan, if that makes any sense, you know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of like, I'm like, oh, it's not so stressful.
Buy Seth Holzer's book on horticulture and get yourself a raised bed, all right? And learn about growing your own crops. What if I hung up and left and you guys never heard from me again?
See, but like, I'd be pissed because I want to learn how to fucking do that shit too. Goddamn.
It's a good book. Sepp Holzer's Horticulture.
Really? Yeah. Send it to me afterwards. Yeah. So I'm gonna build my own fur parm and shit.
I will say.
Hey, good luck in Canada. Yeah.
The immediate advice, because like, I 100% understand, like, just watching the feeling of watching bad things happen, like, wow, I can do nothing about this. Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. It's you just kind of get in this cycle of like depression and like, yeah. I know people who stay in that so long, they just get nihilistic about the whole thing. Right. But there is a lot you can do as the individual, even in small amounts. The number one thing I'd say right now is if you look at the way supply lines and especially shipping structures at the moment are working, we are having an increased inflation period because goods are not necessarily becoming more scarce, but more complicated through the transition routes we have to get to them. So because of that, the dollar becomes less because things the dollar's based on become worth more, yada yada. At the moment, the like advice I would have to someone who can afford to put some money away is put the money into assets that are definitely going to be useful, things like food. So for example, if you've got $100 and $100 is worth, I don't know, just for example, 100 boxes of mac and cheese. If like 6 months or a year from now this continues and the dollar becomes worth like, you know, $1.50 now or whatever, well, now your $100 is going to be able to buy, you know, 50 boxes of mac and cheese, whatever the number would be. Because of that, you have let paper money, which is not an asset because you can't eat it, you can't do anything with it. You've let it sit, and now you do not have a more equivalent amount for what that money was worth at the time, and you're worse off for it. Which I always say this to everyone: there's a gun shop nearby that has a saying because suppressors take 9 months to buy. There's a sign when you walk in that says the two best times to buy a suppressor were 9 months ago and today. This best time to buy food was 9 months ago and today, because it's going to continue to, like, you know,
right,
the money.
Shop at Costco. And buy shit that doesn't go bad.
When you go get spaghetti, get like two boxes or something, because now it is worth more than it will be then. So it's going to
say, all these Zoomers investing in Bitcoin.
Bro, we gotta buy some fucking mac and cheese, dude. Shit.
Do not get me started on the Bitcoin stuff.
Oh, please get started on the Bitcoin, because man, I can fucking
a wall. I tell you.
Have you invested in any crypto coins?
No.
I used to be in the market a while ago in the crypto world, but I had to I probably liquidated out every position I had over a year ago at this point. Because it got really scam and rife heavy. I was really supportive of cryptocurrency because I was like, oh, decentralized money, you know, probably the next evolution. Complete rife with scams. I want to know your opinion. I want to know, like, the average person's opinion who knows about the topic, who's, like, seen it unfold before their eyes. Because on the internet, I literally only have, like, the haters and the people that jack this shit off every fucking day. But you're going to have a more reasonable take. I know that.
Crypto, like, overall...
Overall, yeah. And Bitcoin.
So,
not gonna lie.
He's a hater.
No. I am slightly a hater, but not for those reasons. So, my issue with it is the way it is marketed more than anything. In itself, you can use cryptos, you can use Bitcoin, whatever, as a form of stock. Actually, the better example for something like Bitcoin is gold and silver. So precious metals like that do not go up in value, especially gold. It doesn't go up in value. It is a battery for your money. If you would have bought a brick of gold or ounce of gold or whatever for $500 10 years ago, an ounce of gold is over $2,000 right now. That is not because gold has become more rare or it's disappeared. It's right. Because
money's worth less.
Money, exactly. Money is worth less. Yeah.
So I viewed it that way as well.
Exactly, yeah, because it's parking your money. It's like, I'm going to set $500 here, and then whenever years from now I get it for $2,000, that is just like, it has maintained its value over time. And
yeah, that's why I buy land, exactly.
Exactly, yeah, land is enough. Okay, yeah. Well, all right. I will not go into my whole spiel about assets and forfeiture and all that, but I got excited. I got a little carried away there. When you have something like Bitcoin that is generally maintained and has a large enough population behind it, it kind of works like gold and silver in the way you can park your money, save it. Now, the issue is that Bitcoin is entirely dependent on markets and buy-ins, so it is much more of a sort of sine wave. Like, you can lose or potentially gain more on it than you can something like gold. It's not a surefire, which is, like, I understand the appeal of it. However, just like gold and things like stocks and crypto and all that, it is not something that has any intrinsic value. Like, this is an example I heard a guy who's much smarter than me say about this stuff. If you were flying on a plane and your plane was about to crash and you're in the middle of the ocean and there were two islands, there was one island entirely made of gold. Like, it was gold. It was all the money you could ever imagine. And another island that had a farm on it. Which island would you land on?
The farm.
The farm, exactly. Because, yeah, it's not worth as much money, but what are you going to do? Eat the gold? The same applies to, like, crypto and stocks and all that. It is only good when you get rid of it. Then you can use it for stuff you need to live and do all that. Now, in its own, that's perfectly fine. I encourage people to buy silver and gold. And the reason I encourage that stuff over, like, things like cryptocurrency is because it's more surefire, because it is an actual battery to hold on to. However, everything I just said, like, yeah, sure, crypto's fine. My issue with it is that people on the internet who have been marketed to with crypto over and over, who have pretty much enough. I know guys who are, like, renting a one-bedroom apartment, are trying to save up for a car, who spend thousands of dollars on crypto.
Yeah.
That is absurd. Like,
I know. I know.
Composite assets, like stuff that maybe will get me some value in the future, instead of making sure you can eat next week. That's
you're better off buying copper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a lot better off with the fucking exactly. Yeah. Precious. Yeah.
That's an Appalachian investment, copper.
Yeah.
Bro, it all goes back to Appalachia.
Me and my buddies go up there, we find them copper. Bro, they ain't even using it. It's on the poles out there. It's on the wires. They won't miss a little bit of it.
My thing with, like, all the crypto stuff is, like, you're right. Like, it's only worth it if you get rid of it, which is why I always, like, say this thing about NFTs and all this stuff, right? It's like, you buy a coin, you hype it up, and you sell it back to somebody for double the profit. That's not something with I think real value. That's just like, it's like you're making fool's gold and you're just, like, you know, fucking selling it back and forth. You're like,
it's like gambling lottery.
Exactly. It's a scam. Let's straight up call it what it is. Like, it's like motherfuckers running a Ponzi scam, whatever you want to call it. But, like, with like assets and everything like that, right? Like, I've had people who've told me, like, fucking you can't 200x properties and you can't do, you know, like, other things, and I'm like, but those things have value, you know. It's like the way that I've always said it to somebody, I'm like, there's always some rube that's gonna come up with some fucking new coin, right? Like, cum coin. But let me tell you, God isn't making new fucking land, okay? So it's like, if you can buy that shit, go for it, okay? Because some dipshit's always gonna
come. Elon Musk going to Mars. I don't know who's gonna live in Manhattan.
I thought you were gonna go, like, scientific and be like, Bermuda, what about tectonic plates? I heard that shit, by the way.
No, I'm not doing that. No.
Dude, when I heard that, I'm like, alright, I guess we'll never win this argument, okay? Shit. But I started telling him, like, you know, God ain't making new fucking land in the States anytime soon, okay? And definitely not in, like, anywhere else in the world. Might as well put my money into that or some shit, right? Like, if you're gonna park your cash somewhere, but it's like, no.
I am a huge fan of land because exactly what you said, it is like gold and silver, an asset that does not like multiply or get bigger over time, so it maintains its value. Mm-hmm. But it also does have
intrinsic value.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, like, you need it to live.
You can use it rather than just be like, yeah, that'll be worth something someday. You're like, yeah, this is worth something now, and I could do it. Exactly, yeah. You could business, house, garden, whatever. You can make an entire living off of it. Bunker. Yeah, 100%. Land is a good way to go. Buy land,
got water. NFTs. A lot of times, water.
Oh, I got land, brother. I got land for days.
Can dig a fucking well on it, mm-hmm. especially like in the north. Down here, there's not a lot that much water. There's no springs or anything. But
sometimes there's oil on your land, dude, and then you make a shit ton of. Yeah, sometimes that'll happen.
Acres. I have 80 acres, and I own the oil rights to it, and I bet there's no oil on it.
Wait, did you check?
The mineral rights? Yeah. It was checked in the 90s.
So, Caleb, have you ever done? Have you ever seen dowsing happened around here?
Yes. The dowsing rods that is magicians.
Insane. Drives me up the wall, bro.
You got water.
Whoa!
You got water. Yeah, man, that stuff is wild. Like I watched that one time.
When I was eight, and I saw that for the first time, like we were at some fucking nature like field trip. This motherfucker brings out the stick, like a stick, and starts pointing. It's like woo, and I'm like, oh man. And I can tell you that you're full of shit. What the fuck?
Oh my God.
What is this nonsense? Yeah, and she's like, you guys try it too. And I'm like, oh, you can't just ask. So we're like holding
feel
this fucking
bowl of Gaia.
Yeah, dude, we're like holding the stick. And I'm like, Sean, I don't think it's gonna work, bro. Like, this is really bad. Like, this is stupid. Like, I started to tell him, like, this is all just fake bullshit. Like, this isn't real. And, you know, it's what my teacher was like, my teacher at the time was like, don't worry about it, okay? Motherfucker's loopy, so let them do what they need to. I always thought this shit was I don't know anybody that falls for it. I don't know anybody that buys dowsing rods. Like,
do you know who Dr. Parkenstein is?
No.
Oh my God. The guy that invented Parkinson's?
No, he's a guy. He's Dr. Parkenstein. He's on TikTok. He makes Tesla coils and shit. He's a modern day Tesla. But he's like this little young man, and he sounds like this. I'm Dr. Parkenstein. And he walks around, and he's got a dowsing rod, and he thinks dowsing rods work. And he also wirelessly transmits electricity, like Tesla's famed experiment from the early 1900s, in which he transmitted electricity from, like, Wyoming or some shit to New York City. I forget exactly what happened, but... Or no, it was like 20-something miles. I forget.
Yeah. It was a coil setup. Yeah.
But this guy on TikTok...
I just saw this guy's channel, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing it apparently. Allegedly. I don't know. All the comments are like, don't put videos of this. You're going to go missing. You're going to get governmented.
Bro, I have seen, on my great uncle's property, someone showed up with a dowsing rod and was like, yeah, dig here. And there was a water line. Like, it makes me go insane. That's the memes of the guy with like the red string ran across the room. Like, that's how I feel. Especially local monsters and Appalachian stuff. Like, man, it drives me crazy.
Don't even get me started on that shit, bro.
Get started. What's the monster? I think that's the best way to end it. I want to know about the monsters out in Appalachia.
What is it called? Oh my God.
We don't got monsters out here. We don't have monsters in Canada, okay? Like, last I checked, Toronto's clear. Next, Montreal's pretty clear, right? You don't have fucking Bigfoot roaming around?
Not a single Sasquatch in the last at least 5 years.
It's got the face of a monkey, and it's like got like a deer tail on its head, and its like mouth is the deer's ass. Have you seen that thing?
Squonk?
There's got to be another name for it. Shit, I keep wanting to call it an Arnuki beast, but that's from Scooby-Doo Spooky Island. That's not a real creature.
I'm not sure about
shit.
That one. You're not thinking.
I don't remember.
The Wampus? The Wampum Cat?
No, not the Wampum Cat. Not the Skunk Ape. I don't remember what it's called. I'll ask Tara.
Man, I don't want to fucking live in a place like this. Holy shit. I just looked up what a Wampus Cat is.
The Wampus? There's flying squirrels. There's flying squirrels, which are innocuous. And then there's actual monkeys out in the woods, allegedly. There's where I used to live in Northern Virginia, Northwestern Virginia, like 10 miles from West Virginia, basically, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. My whole family swears to God that there's a monkey in the woods, like a chimp, an actual chimp. And I don't know. I really want to see it. Like,
that's like so non-threatening, though. What the fuck?
It's an. I mean, it's a real ape out in the woods, though. So it's kind of pretty scary, you know. Fucking rip your face off, chew your dick off. If it gets too much sugar,
feral apes are terrifying. Like,
they rip your penis right off. Eat it.
The medical shears and all, they bring them.
Yep. Use it as one of those life straws.
I just looked up Appalachian deer ass. My fucking recommended. They're so fun. Shit. Like deer ass mouth.
Here, I'll be right back. I gotta ask an expert. I'll be right back.
What the fuck?
Bro, sorry, hold on. I got. He gone.
He's gonna. No, you know what? It's probably a fucking bit. Cause let me tell you what he does. He does this shit.
Where, like, toilet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I talked about the time where, like, you know how they had the TikTok, like, fucking, you know how they had that that devious licks challenge.
Yeah.
And people were stealing urinals. This motherfucker and brings an actual urinal.
Oh, that's where that urinal came from.
Yeah, he just like fucking bought it.
That guy in the background over there.
I've watched his videos on his channel. He like pees in them in the beginning. I'm like, why does he just have a urinal in his house? Oh look, he's back.
Oh, he's back.
He's smiling on his face.
What is it for?
The what?
Abaguchi?
The Abaguchi.
So is that like what the locals call known for it, or is that like an older legend in the region?
Abaguchi.
This is a local. It's like it's apparel. It's a cross between an owl, a fox, and a deer. It's indigenous to Costa Rica. It's called a dryland piranha, and it's in West Virginia.
Wow.
I literally...
Abaguchi.
Hmm.
What the f...
Yeah. My old neighbor had one's head.
What?
It was clearly just like a culmination of different taxidermied animals, though. Very obviously not real.
What kind of weird-ass fucking... I just Googled, what kind of weird-ass fucking inbreeding are the goddamn animals doing out there? What the fuck?
Abaguchi.
Bro, I don't care what you say. If you saw this in the woods at 3 in the morning, I would cry.
That's fucking scary, dude.
You walk
I'm gonna go further and say if I saw anything in the woods at 3 in the fucking morning, I shit my pants regardless. But
bears are scary enough, dude.
I almost went bear hunting, dude.
Up in Canada?
Yeah. The only reason I didn't go was at the last minute. I'm like, man, I really don't want to fucking die. And then it just pussied out of it. Because, the last little bit, like, the guy I was talking to, he, like, gives me all these horror stories about, like, dudes who get mauled by bears out in the woods and their bodies never get found. I'm like, what a fucking thing to talk about just before we're about to do this.
I'll tell you a story really quick. When I was probably 13 or 14, whenever I first started bow hunting, we went to the Blue Ridge. There's a forest called the George Washington National Forest, and we hunted right on the outside of it on private property. So you can like actually do kind of whatever you want, because you can't. It's like the laws are really weird when you go from private property to the park. So I was at a blowdown, so I was like alone because I was a teenager at that point. My dad was somewhere like a mile or two away, and it's very mountainous, very thick, a lot of hardwoods, extremely old forest. So very like nothing thick, just totally giant ass trees and like 2 foot of leaves on the ground everywhere. Just a super like Virginia forest, basically. So extremely visible. And then there was a blown down tree. I was like in the blown down tree, basically hiding and hunting. And I heard noise because there's fucking, that's all you do is just listen for shit. There was a cub, a black bear cub came around the blowdown and was like walking in front of me. And I was like, all right, this is not good. This is really bad because this is a tiny little baby bear. And I'm a little boy and all I have is a bow.
Right, no. This is not good. You're going to have to fucking get real lucky, man. Yeah. You're going to have to fucking
exactly. So I was shoot its eye out. Not fucking good at all. I was standing there. I was kind of like leaned up against it. Baby cub walks around and then another one. And they're very young too. And then I hear like much larger sound and much more leaves moving around. And the mama bear, as they're called, was coming down, climbed over the blowdown, probably 15 feet in front of me. So extremely close. I could see like it's like it's just so much detail about the animal. And it was directly in front of me. I was looking at it, and I shot with the release, so I put the release on my bow, just in case I had to attempt to defend myself at some point. And it like kind of was walking around and it knew something was there. They have terrible eyesight, but they have very good nose and very good ears. I didn't make any noise, but it could smell me. And it was like walking in front of me and it stopped and like looked over towards me in my direction and was like looking, and I could tell it couldn't see me, but it was looking right fucking at me. And I was like, this is so bad. I'm so fucking scared right now. And it just did that and then just kept moving on. And I immediately called my dad on the walkie-talkie and I was like, Dad, I need to have a pistol next time.
You left me.
It was really close.
And
Oompy immediately went. He immediately went to the closest Hilton's and didn't make it to the bathroom.
I got to his shit.
Yeah, he did it in the hallway. He's like, this is what Dad did when he doesn't buy me.
The craziest thing too, like 3 or 4 years before that, my dad, and this was before cell phones, before any of us had cell phones. It wasn't before them, but we were just fucking poor, so we didn't have any cell phones. My dad went hunting. And he left at like 3 p.m., just like a couple hours before dusk. Came back 2 a.m. So we were like, he's dead. There's no way he's coming back. So we're all worried as fuck. And he came back at 2 a.m.
Jesus.
That crazy bastard. And he's a short guy too. He's like 5'5", but in like tremendous shape. He's like got fucking 8-pack abs and can do 40 pull-ups, and he's almost 50 years old. And that's not even an exaggeration. He's crazy. He fucking drug a 445-pound black bear out of the woods, got it on the back of his truck, and also a deer. And I was like, first off, this is insane, for one. This is fucking
like,
crazy.
It's bad. You got enough meat with the bear. He's like, I'll just get an extra deer for good measure. Got to balance it out, I guess.
What had happened was he shot the deer, and then as a quality outdoorsman does, you give the animal time to die so you don't spook it, so it doesn't run and no unnecessary stress. A bear on that path began consuming the deer, as one does. They're scavengers. And my dad was like, all right, well, this is a great opportunity to just excel as a primal human being. Took his fucking shoes off, which were still in the mountain. He didn't come back home with his shoes. He left his shoes behind. Walked barefoot, stalked the bear, shot it with his bow, and fucking got both of them, dude. And then drug them out. Like, I don't even know how far it was, but the 2 weeks later, he had to get hernia surgery, though. I do know that. So he fucking just exerted himself so much. And it was incredible, dude. It was like one of the craziest.
Stalked a bear with a bow?
Yeah, stalked a bear while it was eating a doe that he shot. And he's like,
and he went back to get his shoes, came back with a hippo.
Like he's like, man, I got this bear, no shoes, and I got a bow and arrow. I'll make it work. Fuck it. Let's go.
Oh my God. He was barefoot. He
really is.
I want to hunt with your dad because I feel like he's a dude that would, like, I'd look at that situation. I'd be like, we're getting out of here, right? He's like, hold my beer, brother. We're going.
Can we get your dad on the podcast?
Absolutely. He would fucking love to. Bro. He would love to do it.
Oh my God. I want to go hunting with your dad, actually. I want to, like, not relive an experience like that, but I mean, like, hey. Bear hunt, like, okay. We're gonna use rifles. Yeah, we're gonna use shotguns this time. We'll stalk the bear. We're gonna use some fucking 12 gauge.
We're gonna be using medical shears.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny though.
That is so cool because, so like, I know that, I'm sure you all know this, but like, for viewers, the reason you take off your shoes when stalking an animal is so you don't break twigs in the grass or whatever, so you don't make noise to spook it. Yep. The mental fortitude to have a bow and arrow and just stare down a bear and start taking your shoes off, bro, that is awesome.
Yeah, he's like that. I mean, he really is. And he's also, people, you know, there's a lot of really fake hunting stories, but my dad is not a fibber by any means. He's,
well, if he came back with the bow, if he came back with the bear and the deer, I would believe him.
Yeah, it's not that far-fetched.
Yeah, there's not that many. There's not many scenarios.
As a kid, Oompy goes to play hide and seek as a kid. His dad takes his shoes off.
He's like, he's got the bow and arrow, and he looks at Caleb's like, not this time. Not this time.
Yeah, he's a fucking animal, though. It's crazy.
That's like a quality outdoorsman, though. Like, fucking, listen, I can hunt, but, like, man, if you gave me a bow and arrow and it was like a fucking bear?
Yeah.
Oh, I can, like, Look, I'm a master at picking my fucking battles carefully, and that's a battle that I would not fucking take. Yeah. Holy shit.
He's crazy. Also, like, South Texas, too, just a couple months ago, he killed a hog with a knife. Just a few months ago. Fucking crazy.
Like a wild one?
Like a wild boar, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, with, yeah, it's just, like, that's something they do whenever he goes down there. He just fucking. I need
to meet your dad. What did he do? Ambush it?
No, it's like a, it probably.
Those are, those things are fucking big.
Dogs. They use dogs.
Yeah. Understood, but, like, how did he, like, get, because boars will gore you to death with their tusks. That's a pretty common thing to happen. How did he get close enough to stab it?
Well, he took his shoes off, obviously.
They have these dogs called catahoulas. They just, like, get the face. They kind of, like, specialize in keeping the head busy, and then you just get behind it and
slide it in. Wow, man, that's insane.
God damn.
We were talking about boars on another podcast on. I had, like, this 30-minute spiel because there's, like, several stories locally of, like, back in the 50s, children being killed because someone would leave their porch door open, a boar would run in, kill all the children, then run out.
The boars will just fucking kill you for the sake of killing you. They don't even kill you for food.
Northeastern, they're almost like legendary in the Northeast because they're not where we live anymore, but in like the 50s they were, and like we have a couple mounted ones in on my grandparents' place. They're fucking scary, dude. They look so much scarier than the ones down here. It's disturbing. They're like warthogs up there.
I went boar hunting one time. We didn't get any. We heard them, but we didn't get any because my neighbor got them on the trail cam. And like I was like, all right, I wasn't familiar at the time. I was like, what do we need to bring? And he was like, ARs. And I'm like, really? He's like, you will shoot them and they won't quit running until they're out of blood. Bring all the firepower you can.
People underestimate, like, fucking. So this is the one thing that I always like tell people when like they're hunting and shit. It's like the reason why you bring AKs or like shotties or really anything is just like people underestimate like how thick the skin can be on an animal. You know what I mean? Like I tell them like, oh, you're not gonna do shit to that thing with a fucking pistol. That's not gonna happen. You might tickle a little bit, but it ain't gonna do shit. You can carry that if you want, but yeah, I mean, if you feel safe carrying it, go for it. But I'm just saying. So like, and even with the size of like a boar, like people understand like how big they are. You know, like they're fucking. Like they're giant, like relatively. So it's like,
yeah, there's one that was killed in the county beside me where my property is. That was, they call them Hogzilla, obviously. I'll see if I can send a picture to Tara to put it in the podcast to edit. But there's also people working on my kitchen right now, so it's very loud. But it weighed like 485 pounds, and it literally looked like a feeder hog. It was just like this long ass boar that there's no way it was it was probably slow and morbidly obese and its fucking arteries were clogged with plaque, but it's just,
are you fat shaming this fucking thing?
I am. Fuck that.
Have you not seen his channel? Okay, this is on brand. I don't know.
He doesn't fat shame on his channel.
I know he's respecting it, Chubb.
Yeah.
Respecting.
Yeah, you guys come down here. I got 80 acres, and we have hogs daily. So come on down. We'll all go hog hunting.
I would love to go hog hunting. I didn't get one, but I really wanted to get. I remember while we were walking, I had bought body armor and everything. I'm like, I'm not taking any chances. I was walking through with the gun. I was like, how will we, if we come across them? I was moving slow, and I was like, how are we going to find out? And they're like, oh, if they see you, they'll run at you. I'm like, oh, good to know.
Here you go. This was today.
That was today?
Yeah, that was at...
Wait, show that again? I have to, like, zoom in, because... What the fuck?
Bro.
It's on my property.
Oh!
Bro. He just disappeared.
Yeah, he just left.
My Discord crashed. What the fuck just happened? That was so weird.
Honestly, I'm so happy it wasn't me. I'm so happy it wasn't...
I love you, bro. Was like, yeah, no, this is what was found outside of my, and the government just shut him down.
Yeah, you got fucking governmented.
It's a small one, though.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy though.
Yo, can you make a video killing hogs with a Moby Huge? I feel like that.
It's fucking canceled, bro.
Yeah, so like, Muda asked me earlier, why don't I do stuff about like, you know, economy and supply lines and all that. A lot of my suggestions would have to devolve into like, all right, so here's how you properly clean a deer. And I feel like YouTube wouldn't be supportive of that. So.
No, because they, well, I want to like, before we like tie things off, actually, I want to say on that, hunting and fishing, that whole category got fucked, I think, just 2 months ago on YouTube. Yeah. Yeah, like a lot of people I covered, because I'd follow a lot of hunting and fishing shit on YouTube, like firearm stuff. They all got fucking like clean demonetized, like taken out of algorithms and shit, like two months ago. Like it was just not okay for YouTube.
I know they always like hit the gun tubers hard, like guys who shoot and train and whatever. But I didn't know they had gone after like the fishing channels. That's absurd.
Yeah, I think it's just like any. I thought it was like any form of animal violence and shit like that. But gun YouTubers, yeah, no, they like one of my favorite channels, like Demolition Ranch and shit. And he's like the only guy where it's like, I'll watch all your sponsored ads. I don't give a fuck. Like, I understand YouTube's fucked you. But yeah, I was surprised when the fishing dudes got hit. I'm like, maybe I could understand the hunting, even though, like, I don't understand the hunting, because it's like, it's a normal human part of living, okay? Like, people hunt for foods, okay? Food doesn't show up at a fucking grocery store, okay? Like,
yeah, if you eat steak, you should probably hunt at some point in your life to not be a fucking
idiot. Yeah, exactly.
If you're hunting and you eat steak, you're a fucking idiot.
I posted a picture of a deer that me and my buddies killed this season, and all these comments were like, this is disgusting, this is horrible. Like, are you all vegetarian? Because if not, shut up. Like, what is your problem?
Yeah, be quiet.
You should have been like, have you ever ate venison? Like,
it's really good.
Trust me, it's worth
You're
it.
Welcome, yeah, like.
And it's like substantially, you know, better for the animal to have it live a wild life and then just its life ends in like 10 seconds as opposed to living a life specifically to be eaten, like cattle and. You know,
plus the man, like, not only is there like a sportsmanship to it, but man, like the alternative of like, no, if you eat meat, you have to make sure that it's processed and from people who are injecting it with hormones and feeding the money of corporations. You can't just be self-sufficient with you and your family. That's wrong. Like, shut up. Get out of here.
We should all make like a hunting podcast, like actually go out into the wild and fucking hunt boars.
I've got 80 acres, man. That is just ripe with the game and all sorts of stuff.
Purpose. This is this is a honeypot. You're trying to get me to.
I mean, hey, I actually would love to fucking do it. I mean, I'm sure we get canceled. Actually, I want to do it just to risk how bad the cancellation could be. You know, like really, like it'd be funny to like hunt an animal and then like all of YouTube just shits on you for like taking an animal's life. I'm like, oh yeah, are you eating your fucking Big Mac right now while you're watching? Are you eating your chicken McNuggies? You know, that came from a fucking way worse place than this animal did. You ever seen what a McDonald's factory farm looks like? Trust me, I've seen that shit by vegans on Facebook all the time. It's depressing. Although, like, I hope nobody digs up my posts from like years ago on Facebook where like fucking people were sharing that, and I just got really pissed with it. I'm like, congrats, this dumbass figured out where food comes from. Good job. Wow.
Holy fuck. I'm like, shit.
I was real savage on there, because I had like I went to like college, and like college had like just fucking, I want to say like university really it really opens your eyeballs to the different types, the human diaspora. So like fucking, like when I came over into university and like these people were like vegans and shit, and you add them on Facebook and they're constantly sharing like the horrors of factory farming and shit like that, and they're shaming you for like hunting, because back then I hunted like more avidly than I do now, and it's like I would like literally share, I'm like, oh, killing deer today, you know, hunting for venison, and they'd be like, how dare you, evil man. I'm like, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, where the fuck did your chicken McNuggets come from, huh? Where the fuck did your Walmart branded USDA steak come from? That motherfucking cow, that cow lived a way worse life than I would expect. What?
Is that on your property?
Yeah.
Oompy, do you have like an image kill list of all the animals you're going to take care of like in the weekend?
My dad has them all named. He literally has like a fucking tier list. He's got like a tier list of the deer he wants to shoot.
That's pretty good. Your dad's cool.
Well,
He is cool. He's a good dude.
We're going to have to... Who wants to tie this episode off? Who wants to give us the best extra? I feel like Oompy should, considering he gave us the best stories about his father today.
Anyways, guys, thank you all so much for watching this episode of the Some Ordinary Podcast, where we talked about some stuff, and we also had a guest... Yeah, we
went from talking about public defecation to hunting deers.
Public defecation to prepping to economics, Keynesian, the Keynesian variety. And then our friend Wendigoon came on and actually, provided a lot of insight for the first time ever, I think, in the history of this podcast.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
John Piker on here, so...
Hassan added a lot. I don't know, man.
Thank you all so much for watching, and guys and gals. I don't know how your outro goes, but
I feel like we should just have your outro. You got to give the Oompy outro.
I don't have an outro.
Oh, you just like
the Oompy outro is.
Yeah, every time.
No, you got to come up with a special one though. You have an
okay.
You got to have a special reason. Like when you're talking about Sniper Wolf.
Let's see. What would be a good outro be? I think I literally just say anyways, and then the video ends, generally speaking. Anyways.